Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. So this will be a fun podcast. Podcast 664 takes a look at a single date in time. And the date is September 23rd, 2017. Is this the end of the world? We're going to talk about it in Podcast 664. Well, it really doesn't matter what happens on September 23rd, 2017, because you got to plan for the future, even if you think the world is going to end. And that means having your heating checked as it starts to get cooler, the leaves are falling. Time to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business and have him come over and check your heating before you have to turn it on. Because when it comes to keeping all of your systems running right today, especially at home, when you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service. And that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. They do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, and they do great emergency service, residential and business. Have them come over and check your heating. Now, is your furnace or your water heater going to be able to stand the full test of full-on winter, which is predicted, by the way, in our area to be really bad this year? Get ahead of it. Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul now, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. For four generations, metro-wide, from St. Paul, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. So I had dinner with Greg Ryan of Ryan Plumbing and Heating this weekend, and he was talking about the last ride of the season, which he took on his Harley just this last weekend. So we are seeing the end of riding season. Those warm and beautiful days are far and few between, starting to be. So this is the kind of time of the year when you kind of park the bike and start looking at it and thinking, boy, what do I want on this? You know, how can I, maybe I need new pipes, maybe I need new lighting options, maybe I need a device mount or some new foot pegs. I want you to check out Ciro3D.com. This is the great motorcycle products and accessories company that I'm working with. They have a great catalog. Go to Ciro3D.com, sign up to get the catalog, take a look at the website. It shows you how the parts work, how they're installed, especially the lighting options and solutions, and get ready for the warm weather, which will come again someday. I don't know when, but we do have a few extra good days. So check out Ciro3D.com. They got a lot of great accessories and products for your bike. The YouTube doomers are at it again as never before. A single date has produced hundreds and hundreds of videos, many of them with literally millions of views. They all point to Saturday, September 23rd, 2017, as the day the world will end.
September 23rd, 2017 and the Great Tribulation. 33-day cosmic window closes on September 23rd. Final week of Ordo Abjao on steroids. Cosmic Convergence Research Group. Who has not witnessed the dramatic uptick in societal chaos and regional disruption throughout the USA since the Great American Eclipse? What follows are just a few of the man-made natural events which were carried out against the American people by those who have sought to destroy the Republic. Hurricane Harvey, the most devastating superstorm in East Texas history that put much of Houston underwater. Los Angeles fires, largest ever wildfires in Los Angeles County history, triggered some of the biggest evacuations in California history. Northwest fires, worst ever wildfires and particularly destructive in Montana, Idaho, Utah, Oregon and Washington states, and showing no signs of letting up in Montana. Hurricane Irma, an unparalleled megastorm with major wind damage and flooding throughout Florida, as South Carolina and Georgia were also hit. Source: The Great American Eclipse proves to be a real blockbuster.
It all has to do with the positioning of the stars just ahead of September 23rd, 2017, in a way that has happened only twice in human history, apparently. Once, way back around the dawn of Egypt as a world power around 3000 BC, once again around the time of the birth of Christ, and now again in our time on September 23rd, 2017. Listen.
It's time to wake up, people. I'm here to wake you up. I'm going to show you 100% visual proof that even the United States government knows about an event taking place September 23rd. Right now, you can even see it. This event that I just showed you, where they're watching it, is this right here in Revelation 12. It's a prophecy. A prophecy is something foretold and comes into existence, okay? 100%, because God's 100%, not 99, all right? Now, let me read this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Okay? You see the woman. She's clothed in the sun, moon under her feet. She's with child, which is Jupiter, been in her womb for over a regular gestation period. Above her head, a crown of 12 stars. Let me explain further. The Leo constellation consists of 9 stars. At that very day, we have Mercury, Venus, and Mars lining up, creating 12 stars above the woman's head. These 12 stars are symbolic for the 12 tribes of Israel. All right? The woman, Virgo constellation, is symbolic for Israel. You see Jupiter, the child, symbolic for the church. Israel gave birth to the church, to us Christians. All right? Now this event, I showed you, Revelation 12, is taking place in the heavens right now.
They say the world is going to end, or they say the world's not going to end on Saturday, September 23rd, 2017.
The Bible says that the earth will indeed be destroyed. And you can look up Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27, Isaiah 65, verses 17, 2 Peter 3:10. But it is going to be replaced by a new heaven and a new earth. That is found in Isaiah 66, 22, 2 Peter 3:13, and Revelation 21, 1. Now, and that's kind of what I meant. In this sense, the world will not be destroyed. So we will have a new heaven and a new earth come down to replace what we have now.
They'll say, in fact, the Lord will make a new world. The prophecies in the book of Revelation will manifest that day, leading to a series of catastrophic events that will happen over the course of weeks. That's one of the explanations. But the world is not ending. The world as we know it is ending. A major part of the world will not be the same the beginning of October as it is before the beginning of October.
Left below.
Ooh, a He Is Written production.
I wish you'd come to church with us, sweetheart.
Church? I'd rather play golf on the holiest day of the week.
Oh, finally, a character I can relate to. I bet good things happen to him.
But honey, with recent troubles in the Mideast and other ominous signs, the rapture could soon be upon us.
The rapture? Easy there, Helen. Science has shown religion is just an old wives' tale. I'm sorry, but the only thing I'm praying for is that you take it easy on our credit cards.
Oh, Mr. Thompson, what if your wife finds out?
It's modern times. Everyone's doing it. Where did my Christian limo driver go?
My pious husband is missing.
The baby I chose to have baptized is gone.
Mr. Thompson, what's happening?
It's the rapture, Shauna. The rapture. The virtuous have gone to heaven, and the rest of us have been left below.
Left below? Where have I heard that before?
It's the title of the movie.
It's everywhere!
We were fools! And because we rejected God, tacitly accepting Satan, we must suffer through the apocalypse.
I thought all religions were a path to God. I was wrong!
Why did I choose to be gay? Oh, this movie will haunt me for the rest of my life, just like Cannonball Run 2.
Okay. Not to mention the fact that Christians are actually talking and using astrological terms like Virgo and Leo and so forth, or referring to themselves as Christian numerologists. Now, to this question of Christian numerology, whatever that is, I saw that and I was like, what is a Christian numerologist? Ed Stetzer, a professor and executive director of Wheaton College's Billy Graham Center for Evangelism, in a story from the Washington Post, which I'll post a link to, says, quote, there's no such thing as a Christian numerologist. You basically got a made-up expert in a made-up field talking about a made-up event. It just sort of justifies that there's a special secret number code in the Bible that nobody believes. You've all heard of the Bible code, right? And my question with the Bible code has always been, if the Bible code is so accurate, then how come we don't use it before the event? How come the videos that show that the Bible predicted so-and-so didn't show up before the event? Or this is all tied into this thing called Planet X or Planet Nibiru. And so I'm going to play for you a short cut that NASA scientist David Morrison did to explain there is no planet Nibiru. And why did he do it? Well, you'll hear him say he did it because they're getting emails from kids who are terrified because they're watching all these videos.
Hi, my name is David Morrison. I'm a NASA space scientist. And I want to talk to you very briefly about Nibiru. I'm doing this because I received a note from a 12-year-old girl recently that said she wondered if the video I made 2 years ago was still valid, that she and her classmates were scared about Nibiru, and could I please explain, from a science point of view, why we know Nibiru is not real and is not a danger. You know, the simplest thing to say is just that there is no credible evidence whatever for the existence of Nibiru. There are no pictures, there's no tracking, there's no astronomical observations. In fact, the origin of the name is a little weird. Nibiru was a minor god in the Babylonian pantheon, probably associated with Jupiter. There's no record that they ever thought of it as a planet. Sometimes we talk about Planet X, but that's a strange term too, because astronomers say Planet X for an object that has not been found, a possible object like Pluto. When it was being searched for, it was called Planet X. Once it was found, it became Pluto. So it really isn't any evidence here to counter, but I can quite specifically say how we know that Nibiru or Planet X does not exist and does not threaten the Earth. First, if there were a planet headed into the inner solar system, it would already be inside the orbit of Mars. It would be bright. It would be easily visible to the naked eye. If it were up there, you could see it. All of us could see it. And the crazy thing is people who say they are observing it but never tell us where to look so we can verify. Well, it doesn't take an astronomer to say that there's no bright object up there that's appeared in the night sky and is headed for Earth. Second, if Nibiru were real, and it were a planet with a substantial mass, then it would already be perturbing the orbits of Mars and the Earth. We would see changes in those orbits due to this rogue object coming into the inner solar system. Astronomers measure the orbit of Earth and Mars precisely and frequently, and there has been no change whatever. Third, and perhaps most telling, if this object had come through the solar system in the past, and you remember the idea is it's on an orbit of 3,600 years, if it had come through in the past, its gravity would have messed up the orbits of the inner planets. The Earth, Venus, Mars probably would have stripped the moon away completely. Instead, in the inner solar system, we see planets with stable orbits. We see the moon going around the Earth. The very existence of this stability in the inner solar system proves that no rogue planet, no interfering object has come through the inner solar system in at least a million years. So it's not real. Nibiru doesn't exist. We can't see it. We can't detect its gravity. And we don't see a signature of its previous passages because there weren't any. Now, some people change the story around and say, well, Nibiru isn't even a planet. It's a brown dwarf with planets going around it or something like that. Everything I've said would be worse with a massive object like a brown dwarf. That would have been tracked by astronomers for a decade or more, and it would already have really affected planetary orbits. So please, Get over it. Nibiru isn't real. Planet X isn't real. We don't have to worry about this hoax.
So despite the fact that the end of the world is apparently coming, I continue to plan for the future. And to that end, I have just signed up with ReliaFund. ReliaFund.com is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So this helps you do business because you can clear checks, you can clear payments. ReliaFund does that, and they do a great job of that. If you are a software developer and you're developing an e-commerce website that you're going to want to integrate something into the page that allows your client to take payments, please contact ReliaFund.com. They will talk to you. They're actual human beings. They're technology focused. They have no long-term contracts. I just signed up. It's secure and it's easy to sign up as a client. Call 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, or check them out online at ReliaFund.com. You can talk to Kevin or Greg at ReliaFund.com, and they can tell you all about it. And I will be telling you more about ReliaFund in the future. ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A, ReliaFund.com. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Takes you right to their contact page. By the way, they've been predicting the end of the world due to the planet Nibiru or whatever since May of 2003. And it's now reaching a crescendo. And as to be expected, you know, now the Christiany Christians have their own fake news denial mechanisms. Quote, "It's simply fake news that a lot of Christians believe the world will end on September 23rd, says one of them. Yet, it is still an important reminder that we need to think critically about all the news." And it's also been said that every time end-of-the-world predictions resurface in the media, it is important that we ask ourselves, is this helpful, according to Stetzer? Is peddling these falsehoods a good way to contribute to a meaningful, helpful discussion about the end of times? Well, no, it isn't. but apparently it is, because a lot of the so-called Christians, whether you call them Christian numerologists or whatever, are peddling falsehoods and selling a lot of vitamins and minerals. And tea.
Hi, it's Lynn Liaz, and please help support my ministry by visiting my sponsors at GetTheTea.com. And make sure that you mention that you heard about Ronnie and GetTheTea.com from Lynn Liaz.
Isn't it interesting, though, the world we live in allows for mass communication of prophecies and predictions based on arcane and complex texts, Bible codes, and so forth. Most of us do not understand, whether you have the Knights Templar, the war between Gog and Magog, predictions of interstellar interlopers, whether it's comets, asteroids, or planets, Planet X, or Nibiru, or Saturn, or Jupiter, Yellowstone's imminent eruption, and then my favorite, the arrival of hurricanes during hurricane season in the Atlantic, and the thought that those hurricanes might actually strike coastlines that they have been striking for centuries off and on. And of course, weather operates in cycles, and so do hurricanes, and there are active hurricane seasons and relatively tame hurricane seasons. There are hurricane seasons that do not strike the Atlantic coast or the Gulf coast and strike somewhere else, and so on and so on. They'll say things like the visit of the Pope to the U.S., which has never happened before. That's a direct quote. When it has happened many, many times going back decades. Only how do you fact check this stuff? You would have to spend hours on the internet fact checking this stuff. And you combine this with an overactive and dark view of the world from Hollywood, and the equation all adds up to the promulgation of fear and loathing and concern and angst.
We are 7 days from the Revelation 12 constellation alignment that matches the biblical narrative in Revelation 12. The Antichrist is going to begin to rise, moving up in the ranks, getting himself in position to take power. Once he takes power, he will give complete authority to 10 kings that he will choose, and they will be given power from the beast in 1 hour.
This video is about a great sign
or when the Jews get the ability to get their temple back, they said the Jews are going to be saying peace and safety. It'll be world headlines, peace and safety. Finally, like John Kerry could never make it happen.
This footage behind me here, that's along the coast of the Dead Sea. Now, when you have a sign, by its very definition, a sign means not rapture, but a sign means something is coming on the road ahead. That's correct, right?
In the last days, there'll be scoffers. You know, where is his coming since your father's father? But, you know, Barry Scarborough put out a really good video this week on how the bees are not preparing for winter. And then a couple other people verified that they had talked to some beekeepers, and they weren't verified. And they verified that the bees weren't preparing for winter, which is a really serious thing.
You have shows like The Walking Dead, Independence Day, The New Blade Runner, Fear the Walking Dead, shows like Ray Donovan. And I love all these shows. I watch them religiously. They all, though, portray the human race in the darkest way possible. Even The Handmaiden is a very dark portrayal of one person's view of what the potential of a religious aristocracy or religious dictatorship might look like in the United States, even though, you know, all the right complain endlessly about The Handmaiden, but the people in power in The Handmaiden all are environmentalists. So are they leftists or rightists? I mean, I think that's what's great about that show. But it's a dark view of human nature. It's violent and very dark views of the future, and on, and very dark views of the potential of technology. Or they are dark interpretations of already confusing and arcane ancient scripts or documents, which supposedly mean something. But this is my experience. My experience has been, you collect a bunch of information on something like this, and you say, well, this is really interesting, that's really, I've read all these Zechariah Sitchin books, yada, yada, yada. But when you talk to a scholar, so an anthropologist, a geologist, a cosmologist, they will scoff at numerology and astrology. Scientists in particular think astrology is ridiculous. Archaeologists and historians scoff at ignorant and crude interpretations of the Bible, or these so-called ancient Hebrew texts or ancient Indian predictions or ancient texts that are discovered, supposedly discovered, and what they mean and so forth, when in reality, you know, academics incorporate those things and study them for years to begin to try to figure out where they fit in. Because the fact is, especially when it comes to ancient history, there is much we don't know. I often point this out that, you know, one of my interesting fields of study is Rome. And, you know, people talk as though we have video from Rome and we know what happened in Rome and we have all kinds of information and we have you know, a rich history with lots of documentation of Rome. Well, we don't. Most of what we know about Rome has been deduced from archaeological finds or the reading of, you know, the great classics, Tacitus, for example. And when it comes to architecture, and this is just one area of study for ancient Rome, obviously a lot of the ruins are still there in Italy, so you can go look at them and you go look at the ruins in Africa and so forth. But they don't really even know what the second and third levels for a lot of these houses were used for. They don't really even understand the religious practices of ancient Rome, and they don't really understand how the government was fully structured or how the military operated. They have a good idea, but they don't have the kind of accuracy that that you would have to be able to say, this is what this meant, and this means the world is ending such and such a time. And almost all of these claims are made by people who use their library of piled up paperbacks or books lined up on shelves with liners and numbers. And they're always shelves that look like they were bought at Walmart you know, Target. They claim to be, quote unquote, self-taught scholars. Now, I am a self-taught scholar, and the one thing I know is that those of us who are self-taught scholars generally pale in contrast to those who have decided to pursue a particular study, ancient cultures or Rome or whatever, the classic political structures or whatever they are, in an academic atmosphere, because they actually know a lot more than even the best self-taught scholar. But what does it all mean, people say? Well, I don't know what it all means. What does it all mean that people are doing this, aside from the fact that you can sell a lot of tea on YouTube? I will go to Carl Jung, and I will go to Carl Jung because he is an anathema to the Christian community, for one thing. But Carl Jung, an understudy of Freud, invented the term collective consciousness. And just to give you a background, he arrived at this conclusion because he had ideas that he would be an anthropologist, and he studied primitive cultures. He also, when he started to work with Freud as a young man, would do rounds as a young psychologist in the insane asylums, and he discovered some commonalities with people who are quote-unquote crazy, and slowly arrived at this idea of collective consciousness, the idea that we are all interconnected in some way by a super consciousness. So you have your own, you have your unconscious, then you have a consciousness, your own unconscious desires and thoughts and things of that. So you have a subconscious, your unconscious mind, and then a collective unconscious mind. And if you read Jung, you know that he cautions people from making conclusions about the unconscious mind or the superconscious mind, because it deals in images and it deals in desires and it deals in things that don't necessarily lend themselves to language, if you will. And some of this might have a basis in science, and I'm not talking about extrasensory perception, which actually is documented to a degree, but I'm talking about the idea that there's a psychic connection to all human beings that we haven't been able to quantify. It's a theory. It is possible human beings, as crude as we are, through some collective consciousness, are perceiving some major change to our world about to occur. Now, when I say about to occur, I'm not talking about September 23rd, 2017, or a year from now, or even 10 years from now. Maybe we are detecting through our media and through these videos and through people feeling the urge to do these things, a gradual or rapid change in our approach to the way that we think. We think companies and governments are in charge, that they have it together, that they're on it. Things happen, mistakes occur, and usually it's because small mistakes are overlooked. They then turn into bigger and perhaps fatal mistakes, which are then, after the fact, perceived as unpredictable. And unpredictable as they happen. Oh, this terrible thing that happened. How could this have happened? But later analysis proves that they were predictable and could have been prevented. We have very complex systems in this country that are very hard to manage and understand. And it's very hard to get good information up to the decision-making levels. For example, there's a new video on Netflix called A Good American, which is done by Oliver Stone, who generally I don't agree with politically, but he presents the case that there is new evidence that the NSA had the data and could have predicted and prevented 9/11 if it had been running certain analysis programs, essentially algorithms that could have predicted it, but they shut it off for political reasons. And he's documented pretty well that they did test after the fact, and yes, they could have predicted 9/11 if they had been doing their jobs properly. Why they didn't do their jobs properly or what was going on, well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, government and large organizations are not infallible, and when they fail famously. Or the famous quants, those derivative investors who used algorithms to first detect and predict and then verify the mortgage bust in 2008 and the consequential stock market drop then. No one believed them before they presented their demands for shorts, and the market obviously tanked. Afterward, it seemed like there were a whole bunch of people that predicted it and quote-unquote knew. Did we collectively know that this was going to happen? So go back to 2007 and look at movies like No Country for Old Men, the Brad Pitt movie about Jesse James, and Into the Wild in particular, which showed a bleak glimpse, perhaps into the future, of people making egregious mistakes. Probably the most popular TV show at the time was Mad Men, which was a wistful look back to the go-go late 50s and 60s, which it's, you know, a fun period to look at nostalgically, but this was also a very dark show because it was all about one guy and his struggle with really this question of reality. No, the current crop of TV shows and movies do not predict the end of the world on September 23rd or even the end of the world ever. I doubt they predict anything specifically, but they reflect perhaps a feeling. Think about it. We have the beginnings of a very sophisticated and powerful communication system. You know, we'll look back on this time in 20 or 30 or 40 years and look upon the internet as it's currently constituted as archaic, you know, really primitive. And when I say communications, I mean intelligence and media of all kinds. A medium as a method of exchange, like money, transferring what actually creates wealth, which is intellectual property or pure creativity in an instant, wherever it needs to be. With the advent of artificial intelligence and robotics and advancement in biology and energetics, these things are all going to lead somewhere to what some have called a point of singularity when artificial intelligence begins to take on a sentience of its own, which may or may not ever happen. But we look on it as a dark experience, but we don't know that it's a dark experience. And a lot of people don't know about these things. They're not aware of these potential threats to the autonomy of the human being, let's just say, as the largest, as the smartest and most dangerous and most really the most powerful animal in the animal kingdom. Behind it all, we have a government designed at best for the 1940s. I've talked about this, structured during World War II to fight two adversaries thousands of miles from quote-unquote Fortress America, added on to during the Cold War to address the potential for nuclear destruction. We have a banking system built in the 1960s designed for the industrial age, and we have actual governmental systems, in other words, the Constitution, designed for the 1800s. So if you think of the new as lava pushing up on the crust of the old, well, one wonders when the new begins to push through and cause disruptions and earthquakes that might be perceived as extremely dangerous and life-threatening to the powers that be. Now, we know that animals can perceive minor vibrations, but can human beings feel disruptions, tectonic changes in a way that would cause them to express them in ways like we see on YouTube? People say to me these days, I don't understand these young people. I don't understand politics. I don't understand what's going on. I think this or that, but I can't put my finger on what I think. I don't get it. I can't figure out what's going on. I'm scared. You know, what do I do if this happens? What do I do if that happens? I feel disconnected from what's going on. You have people who are so deep in a discipline that this is what they believe and this is how they operate. It's all these things. As we move into a new era and a completely new cycle, and that is kind of what is happening just because of technology, these kinds of movements, this level of change is never easy. And if you don't pay attention to it, it's easy to perceive as in a dream, using the signposts and images from your own subconscious to believe something is true because it's an ancient text, to believe some theory without being able to check the details because it sounds right to you, to have a general feeling of dread or confusion or sadness because of what you see or hear without a center and being vulnerable to it, and given today's technologies, being able to express it with some level of sophistication, depending on what it is that you do. And it's true that these kinds of tectonic changes are usually accompanied by pressure on all areas and then some kind of breakthrough, which can be violent. And this is true all through history, whether it's the French Revolution, which really came at the end of a long period of upheaval and revolution in Europe. Around that time, the U.S. Civil War, which came after a long period of upheaval and growth and the dawn of the Industrial Age at just about that time. So if the Industrial Revolution began in the United States in the 1830s, by 1860, it had sort of gathered momentum and began to affect everyone. And then economic depression and depressions with economic growth prior to both world wars. I do feel we are on the edge of a moment when the realization becomes obvious that we cannot go on thinking the way we have been thinking. Up, down, right, left, right, wrong, your side, my side. It doesn't mean that we have to throw away whatever perceptions or philosophy that we believe in, no matter what walk of life that we're on. But I do think we have to think about how we perceive the world, and we have to think about the world in different ways and what that all means. And I think those are huge concepts for people to take apart and deal with depending on what walk of life they come from. Yeah, if the world's ending, well, do we need to talk about foreign trade and foreign manufacturing and manufacturing coming back to the United States? Well, if you're in business, you may think the world's going to end, but you have to plan for the future to go forward. And these days, there is a lot of talk about something called trade protection or bringing back foreign manufacturing to the United States. There might be a tax penalty for companies doing business overseas. If your company is actually doing business overseas or is considering bringing back some of your manufacturing to the United States, remember Depot Star. This is a Minnesota company. They're right here in Minnesota. There's lots of reasons to manufacture in the United States. Depot Star exemplifies many of those reasons. Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T, Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. Let me be your mom for a second and tell you not to forget to get the heating checked, because your furnace and your water heater need to be able to stand the test of winter, and winter is coming. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. If you are a plumber, give Ryan a call. They got openings for plumbers. They're doing great business and they always need help, so give them a call. 612-927-6488 or 651-224-4771, online at ryanplumbing.com. So what do I think? I don't think that anything is going to happen at all on September 23rd or after. There will always be disasters. There will always be changes. I think things are changing, and I think later some people will look back on it and say, see, we told you, but I think that these things are happening just because of human progress. Now, maybe I'm nuts. I certainly don't want to sound like my own conspiracy theorist, but no, I don't think anything's going to happen on September 23rd, 2017, but you never know. I got a lot of water. The thing is, if you watch these videos for any length of time, you're going to think something's going to happen. And I do watch too much YouTube. Thanks for listening to Podcast 664 on iTunes, off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. We have a great streaming service, Stitcher.com, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. I appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter and the comments at the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, and for your donations for thebobdavispodcast.com at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just click on the yellow donate button or click on the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. I'm actually formulating some new plans for Mobile Podcast Command, and I can really use donations for the potential addition of a stove. More about that later. Thanks for listening to Podcast 664. Boop.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system.
Your attention, please. This is Dick Chapman, one of your official civil defense broadcasters, with a special message. Military authorities have advised us that an enemy attack by air is imminent. This is a red alert. You are advised to go to your nearest shelter area immediately. Find shelter. There is not time to leave the city. Your state civil defense director has just issued the following instructions. Please remain calm. every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information.
25 before 10. Doesn't somebody want to be wanted? The Partridge Family. This station has interrupted its regular program at the request of the United States government to participate in the emergency broadcast system serving the Fort Wayne area. During this period, many radio stations will remain on the air, broadcasting news and official information for areas assigned to them. This station will remain on the air and will serve the Fort Wayne area. If you are not located in the Fort Wayne area, you should now tune your radio to other stations until you hear one which is broadcasting news and information for your area. You are listening to the emergency broadcast system serving the Fort Wayne area.
Studio, awaiting further information. WOWO received this emergency announcement just moments ago. We have to verify, we did verify, with a special message in code, and this is an emergency action directed by the emergency network and directed by the president. You've heard Bob Chase tell you that you are to tune to the emergency station in your area that is remaining on the air. WOWO will remain on the air here in the Fort Wayne area to broadcast any emergency information that is coming in. At this point, at the microphone, I know of nothing to cause this. We are waiting from Stuart Dan in the WOWO newsroom to bring us some information from any of our wire services. We have been asked to broadcast this emergency information immediately. We will bring you other emergency information the moment we receive it. And at this time, I would personally like to urge all members of the WOWO news staff, any in the area and listening, to report to us immediately. We do not know the cause of this emergency notification, but we ask you to stay tuned. This is Bob Sievers. I'm checking the wires. I'll be with you the moment we have further information.